Welcome to Buckets of Books. We're back for a consistent week for the first time in a long time, even though we always say see you next week, even if it'll be like the whole summer. But we're just talking about what we're currently reading this week, as we often do.
So I am reading a book for my English class, and seniors get to pick their English electives, and so I'm in satire and society, which isn't really something I would pick, like, totally by choice, but my favorite teacher is teaching it, and so I signed up for it, and I'm actually really enjoying it. And this is where, a couple episodes ago, I talked about the Greek drama Lysistrata, and now in it we're reading Fight Club, the book. Which is really fun. And I watched the movie, I think, like, during, like, peak quarantine with my family, and I was like, oh yeah, like, I totally get the hype, like, this is a really good movie. And then reading it now is like, I'm surprised by how much I'm enjoying the book, and just, like, how, I don't know, it's, like, totally different than what I usually go for. And I'm also, like, really enjoying it, and I don't really want it to end, which is exciting.
That is exciting. I feel like that is, like, every man my age's favorite movie, or favorite book.
Totally.
I've seen it once. I think I also watched it peak quarantine, where you, like, watch all the movies you've been meaning to watch. But that's kind of funny that you're reading it in that class, because when I think about the movie, I do think of it as being, like, over the top and, like, kind of a metaphor, but not, like, in-your-face satire. So I'm curious about, you know, what you've been learning about how it is a satire.
Well, one of the topics is that, like, we're sort of reading the book and then, like, looking at certain scenes from the movie, and we're, like, discussing whether or not the movie counts as a satire, because they really do take out, the book talks a lot about, like, the homosexuality between, and, like, this queer eroticism between the narrator and Tyler, and that's, like, entirely gone from the movie, essentially, which really changes it. And there's also, like, obviously you can't get every single line of narration in, and so it does have a different feel, but we're sort of, there are three main types of satire. There's Horatian, which is, like, pure, lighthearted, like, funny comedy, and it's still satire, so it still has a purpose, and it's still, like, aiming at some intention, but it's critiquing, really, behaviors rather than society. And then Juvenalian critiques society on the whole, so it's, like, very angry, like, American Psycho is Juvenalian, Fight Club is Juvenalian, because it's critiquing, like, this whole system of beliefs, and it's really, like, getting at society. And so Fight Club is Juvenalian, and it's, like, this really angry, like, dark, like, it's not, like, a fun book to read. And I don't know, I feel like satire is a little bit, it's like, you can intend to write an allegory, and you have to intend to write satire because you're really trying to get a purpose across. And I also think the reader can interpret it as a satire or not as a satire, even if that doesn't really match the author's intentions. I'm only, like, I'm, like, a little less than halfway in right now, so I'm not, like, in the depths of it yet, but I think, so far, I think the satire really is just, like, the exaggeration of the tone, where it's just, like, so, so awful, and, like, all of these awful things are happening to, like, not great people, and it's just really, like, pointing out, like, look at our society when it's not at all romanticized in any way, which is interesting.
That is interesting. And also, a side note, I feel like your teacher would be so proud listening to this episode, you reciting the types of satire. But yeah, that's interesting that it got kind of toned down for the movie. Like, I wonder, cause that movie came out, what, early 2000s. And I wonder if they were trying to, you know, make things more, I mean, it's kind of like a gritty movie still, but I'm interested that they took out the homoerotic elements.
Yeah. I also think the movie, the Marla's character, who Helena Bonham Carter plays in the movie, she's much more powerful in the book. She's, like, really, like, she is her own person, and she has power. And then in the movie, she's really much, like, she's very, very feminine, and she's very sexual, and she's a lot less powerful. Like, the narrator, like, will grab her arm and tug her along, which never happens in the book. And so it's interesting seeing, like, how they define femininity and how they define masculinity because of that in the book and in the movie, which I think is, like, part of the reason why they took stuff out. And I'm not done yet, but I'm really enjoying it. And I recommend the, like, side-by-side reading, watching. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of unusual for an English class, too. In many English classes I've had, you watch the movie after, but not, like, the real side-by-side and viewing the movie as, like, a really comparative element rather than just like here's a reward for finishing the book.
Yeah, totally.
But I wanted to go back to something you said earlier about the intent of the author and how that can be different from the viewer's or the reader's interpretation of it, because that is kind of like a funny dynamic you hear all the time now where one person is critical of something and the other person says, like, oh, like, they were being satirical. Like, you don't get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thing that came to my mind when you said that is Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had an English teacher who said, like, I hate the that every woman gets a husband genre and being, you know, some people seeing it as just, like, a romantic comedy, but other people, me included, being like, but she knows what she's doing and like she's satirizing so many elements here. And I'm curious if you all have talked about that kind of dynamic more in class.
We haven't really talked about that in class. Personally, I think that the difference between satire and just like basic irony, because I think you can like have irony and exaggeration and sarcasm without it being a satire. I think a satire needs to have been intended to be a satire, where it's like SNL is SNL, and then when they are making fun of someone, that becomes a satire. And it's like, because according to my English teacher and according to this unit, the author intended for it to be a satire. He had a target in mind and he said, okay, this is what I want to critique and this is what I'm trying to flip on its head and like discuss about society. That's like what makes it satire. And I think, you know, obviously you can't say, okay, everyone believe me and agree with me now, but I think the intentions of the author to make it, because satire has a purpose, it's not just humor, it's like trying to change something and trying to get a message across. And even though like technically everything, every piece of writing has a message, satire specifically is like purposely subverting how you experience this message, which is interesting. And it's like, I don't know, with Jane Austen, I think it's very easy to be like, oh, it's just like a old-timey little rom-com, like you said. But I think her intentions, even if they're not always received the way she intended, are still a big piece of how it's written.
Right. And it's hard, though, because I agree with you. I think that satire doesn't just happen. It's intentional, but so much of the time you really don't know what the writer was thinking, or, you know, there's no way to go back and ask, and sometimes there is that gray area that people will wholeheartedly disagree about.
Yeah. What have you been reading lately?
I've been reading a couple of things, but I've been reading Pamela by Samuel Richardson. I am on the earlier side of it too, but it is 1700s British literature, and it's epistolary style, which I have never read from that time before. So it's about this girl who works as a maid, basically, like a lady's maid in a rich household, and her lady dies, and so then the lady's son comes in and is like sexually harassing her, and she's like really trying to hold on to her virtue and say no, and it's all kind of written so far in the part that I'm in letters back and forth to her parents. So I think this is pretty interesting in a lot of ways, like the format. Also, it's most of the time when I read books about female protagonists from that area, it's a well-bred lady, and this is a woman with a job, which I think is cool. A woman who like manages her own money and has to make career decisions, and that it's so explicitly sexual. Not like there aren't any sex scenes, but they're explicitly talking about the way he's talking to her, like kind of inappropriate comments for the workplace, especially for the time, referencing her undergarments and things like that. And so it's so direct, I guess, and has a completely different perspective than I'm used to from English novels of that time.
That's interesting. I know, I feel like having non-narrative, well, still narrative, but non just like straight up prose styles in writing feels like a very modern thing, and like it is, and it has always existed. That's interesting reading it when it was written so long ago. And I also feel like the, like, parent relationship isn't what I would have expected. I would have expected her to be writing to, like, her best friend or something like that. But that's interesting that it's, like, a more family tie.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, when she's writing both her parents, she'll be like, of course, like, my virtue is safe. And then sometimes she'll just write her mother, and that's always significant. Mm. Like, you know, I know father is worried about this, but, like, I feel like I can tell you this. So, yeah, I don't really know the history of the epistolary form, other than, like, the Bible, I guess. but can't think of any other old time references like that. You're right, it does feel like a modern, trendy kind of thing. So I'm enjoying it. I think it's, like, a quick read because of that. I do think, I kind of, like, wish it were written by a woman, because it does, I feel like the protagonist so far is kind of one note. She's very girlish, she's, like, very pure, you know, kind of like a Madonna figure. She's, like, I would never, you know, sway morally. And so far there's been, like, a little bit of a backbone, you know, she's refusing this guy's efforts, but then she'll, like, burst into tears, and she does feel one-dimensional, which is more understandable for the time, even though I like that it's forward-thinking in other ways.
It sounds like it's itching for a modern adaptation rewrite.
Oh, you're right. Oh, it would be a good, I don't know, a rom-com. Like, remember in the early 2000s, there were so many rom-coms based off British literature, like Jane Austen and that kind of thing, like Bridget Jones' Diary and Clueless. Mm-hmm. This would be a good one, and it could easily be moved into a modern frame, because workplace harassment issues are still alive and well, and I think it has a lot going for it. I just wish the protagonists were more nuanced, and like it is kind of still outdated views of sexuality. Like, the parents will be like, we would rather you come back dead than have your virginity soiled, you know?
How did you find this book? Like, what made you want to read it?
I found it at a used bookstore. Uh-huh. And I had heard of his other book, Clarissa, because I knew it was one of the longest novels ever written. So I picked it up, and I thought, I mixed up Pamela and Clarissa at first, and I thought, this isn't that long, maybe I should do it. But I figured it out, but the back of the book, you know, just the letters, I think, drew me in as a concept for that time. And that is fun because, you know, you get the sense of tone a lot. Like, the way she writes is very girlish, and you can, you know, there are parts where she's talking about, like, you can see my tears are staining the letter, and I think she's only, like, 15, and it has that girlishness, but kind of, like, from an adult man trying to sound like a 15-year-old, kind of. But it's fun. It's, like, it's reading pretty fast for what sometimes can be dense text from that time period. This does not feel that way.
That was going to be my next question, if you felt like the language was too difficult or worth it to sort of work your way through.
No, I don't think so. And I think it would be an especially good one for somebody who is interested in books like this but hasn't read it a lot, because it's just a good pacing, and it feels kind of like lighthearted, even when the subject matter is not, but it kind of flows off of her pen, I guess. It is not dense, like things are moving along at a nice clip plot wise, so I would recommend it if that kind of thing is your cup of tea or if you're interested in trying it.
Interesting. I feel like this is the most different our books have ever been in a week.
I know, but I have another book that I'm reading too that I'll talk about next week, but somehow like what you were talking about kind of led me to want to talk about this one, like commentary on society. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe a lot of this will turn out to be satire or like a commentary on women's sexuality.
Interesting.
It kind of reminds me of Tester of D'Urbervilles, in that there's a man writing, you know, 200 or 300 years ago, about a woman being in a precarious sexual situation. Like in that book, Tess was raped and they didn't actually like get into it, but you know, it's heavily implied, and how much of a double standard there is for her having lost mm-hmm. her virginity, and how her life kind of falls apart because of the way that society treats her. And I really liked that book, and I feel like those two, like you could teach a class maybe that both of those are on the syllabus.
Interesting. Seems like we have a lot of adaptation and modern analysis that we want to do.
Yeah, that's true. We should teach a class together for
we
all
should.
Of our
That'd be good.
Listeners. Just side note, like heard about this whole, my sister's in-laws, their whole family is reading The Secret History because of me now. So like our influence was spreading, I think.
Well, we always recommend The Secret History, and I definitely recommend reading Fight Club.
Yeah, and so far I recommend Pamela as well.
And we'll be back next week on Buckets of Books.